Well, good evening. I invite you to open up in your copy of God's Word to James chapter 1. You can find that on page 1288 of the Bibles provided for you in the pew. We're going to be reading verses 2 through 12 for context. Just remind you that in this opening chapter of James's epistle, he is trying to encourage us, strengthen us for the trials of this life, to remain faithful. And previously, he talked about how our trials are a means of producing perseverance. But in verse 12, particularly, he speaks of our trials. And we are to look forward past the trials to see the reward that waits for us when we remain faithful to Christ. So give now your attention to God's Word. It's meant to strengthen you in this life full of trials. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises and with it scorching heat, and withers the grass. Its flowers falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Having read God's word, now let's pray and ask his blessing upon it. Oh God, as we come to your word, Lord, we ask that you would show us how blessed a people we are. That in the midst of the trial, there you are with us, strengthening us, encouraging us. And Lord, as we look forward to that crown of life, keep us, strengthen us, we pray in Christ. Amen. As I was studying this passage, it went a different way than what the bulletin shows as the heading for today. I want to ask you this question. What does the world define as being blessed? What is it to be blessed in the eyes of the world? For most, to be blessed is to be absent of trials. It sees blessedness and trials as exclusive. They can't equal one another. Trials equal unhappiness. To be blessed is to be, by definition, free of trials. All you have to do is look at social media posts. When you see hashtag blessed, what does it highlight? A new car, maybe a family vacation, or a new cushy job, or lots of money in the bank account, the house I always wanted. This is what the world determines as blessed. And sure, those are blessings from God. I'm not saying they're not. But is that really what it means to be blessed? How does the Scripture define to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? The word in the Greek used for blessed can also be translated as happy. So what is true biblical happiness? Biblical happiness is found in the deep and abiding satisfaction in God Himself. This is true biblical happiness. It's not found in earthly pleasures or treasures, but in heavenly ones. And often when the Bible speaks of happiness, it really refers to have great joy or delight or to be blessed. It's frequently linked to our experiences of seeing God's presence in our lives. Happiness is not found in worldly things. Because as we heard this morning, worldly things, they're only there for a moment. They don't provide any lasting joy. As Pastor Titus was saying this morning, and really, we didn't talk about it. There's always more to gain, isn't there? There's always this one more thing where I'm really happy, genuinely happy. See, true biblical happiness comes from an internal completeness that comes in being in the presence of God, regardless of your circumstances, because they change every day. And although there is more to come, this God-given happiness can be something that you experience now. It's not something you have to wait for. It's something you can experience today in your life. Yes, there's more to come, but biblical happiness can be experienced right now. So what is biblical happiness? Well, let's look to the Old Testament real quickly. Biblical happiness, as Psalm 1 tells us, it's not being like the wicked, walking with the wicked, doing what the wicked does. But true blessedness, happiness, is found in meditating on God's Word and obeying God's Word day and night. Or as Jesus defined it in Matthew chapter 5, when He went up into the hills and He began to teach His people, His disciples, He says, "Blessed or happy are the people who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed or happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Or even, "Happy, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I don't think this is the way in which the world would define happiness or blessedness. Being blessed or happy is not determined by external circumstances, but is based on the reality of who you are in Jesus Christ. So I must ask the question, are you a blessed or happy man or woman? Are you a happy child? Are you happy in your elderly years? Are you blessed? And this, in verse 1, James, as he speaks the truth about what a blessed man is, and here he uses the man, the term man, but it means man, woman, child, everyone. And so I'll use the word man going forward. James is speaking, which are completely contradictory to which the world sees as being blessed, to be blessed. So let us look together as the ways in which James defined what a blessed man is. And let's determine if that defines you and me. Are you blessed? Are you a happy person? First, the blessed man remains steadfast in trials. The blessed man remains steadfast in trials. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. This might be difficult to hear, but affliction doesn't make you miserable. It doesn't have to make you miserable. They don't have to make you unhappy. Giving in to trials do. James here is speaking in the collective singular. as we read here. He's talking about trial. Blessed is the man who is steadfast in trial after trial after trial. To remain steadfast is to patiently and consistently bear up under the trials of this life. To hold steady under the weight of affliction. It's like a weight lifter taking that weight upon their back. Not buckling or giving in, but keep on maintaining with that weight upon their back. It's like this. It's bearing the crosses of this life. Remaining steadfast is bearing the crosses of this life without blaspheming the Lord, without being bitter against the Lord and His providences, or forsaking God because of the trials. It doesn't mean that you never stumble, because we all know we do, but it's getting up and moving forward in trial. For the unbeliever, they'll do anything they can to avoid trial. They'll do anything they can to avoid the trials of this life. They look at the Christian and wonder why. Why would you endure such things? The world is much like Job's wife when she says, "Why don't you just curse God and die? You're missing out on so much of this life that you could be experiencing. You're spending all your time and resources in pursuing after this God. You're sacrificing so much when you could just be enjoying life. You give up a whole day of worship in worship to God instead of serving yourself. Why don't you just take a break? Enjoy life for a minute." Isn't that what the world would say? But the blessed man sees trials much differently. He says, "I have endured these trials. I choose to endure these trials because of Christ. I see with the eyes of faith. I'm not seeing my circumstances and thinking I'm hopeless, but I see hope. I see the victory. I see true happiness. And I see what awaits for me in heaven." And even in the most difficult of trial, the ultimate trial which we all will face, death. We see death as the gateway to life. This is the Christian's response and attitude to trials. What blessed people we are for remaining steadfast in trials. The only thing you have to lose is your sin. In trials, we lose our grip on this world and our sin, and we gain more of Christ. Trials are kind of like divinely given homework, in which we work out the truths of God's Word, how He's taught us to believe and to live and act. It's like the math teacher who teaches you in class and you think you've got it, only to get home and to find out, "Oh no, I don't even understand what I'm going through." But through the drilling and drilling, you begin to understand the concepts to which you were taught. Trials really show, do I really believe? Do I really believe in the goodness of God? Do I really believe the promises of God? Are they true in my heart? In trials, you learn the lessons of Job, where he says, "Take everything. The Lord gives and He takes away. But blessed be the name of God." Or as Habakkuk says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flocks be cut off, from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Though all the things be taken away from me, I rejoice in the God of my salvation. Trials are much like the wilderness wanderings of the people of God in the Old Testament. Because what did the wilderness do? It caused them to draw near to God. And they saw the treasures of the wilderness to be far surpassing than the riches of Egypt. See, if you hope in the world and the things of this world, that's all you really get. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if we as Christians only have this world to hope in, we are to be most pitied. So are you a blessed man? Are you a truly happy man? Have you remained steadfast in the trials of this life? And let's look secondly. Second, the blessed man has and will receive the crown of life. The blessed man has and will receive the crown of life. And as it goes on here at the end, second part of verse 12. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. James here is speaking that trials are part of the proving process of the life of the Christian. It's like metal being tested. When it's put in the furnace, it's determined whether it is pure. It's determined its purity and its worth. And so, too, with the trials of this life. Fire does not make metal what it is, but it proves what the metal says it is. Trials prove who we really are. And Christian, are you willing to choose the greatest affliction before the least sin? To face the greatest affliction before you're willing to give in to the least sin. No greater trial that we can look to as an example than that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, bearing the burden of the cross, wearing the crown of thorns, all for the glory of God and for the love of his people. Jesus endured the trials for you and for me. He took the cross. He wore that crown of thorns for you. And our trials don't merit us heaven, but most surely they come before it. And you and I, we must bear our cross daily as we're being weaned from the sins of this life and of this world. And in death, as Thomas Manton, the 17th century Puritan, said, therefore, when he, that is the Christian, receives the crown of life, he receives the final endowment of life. In death, we'll receive that final endowment of life. Where our Father says, well done, good and faithful servant. As many have said, the cross becomes before the crown. It may be better put here in this context, as James says, we're going to be given a crown of life. Maybe better put, we bear the crown of thorns before we bear the crown of life. We bear the crown of thorns before we bear the crown of life. The Apostle Paul understood this well. He understood that there were great difficulties. This man was stoned to death, or stoned almost to the point of death. And what did he do in Acts chapter 14? After being stoned, he strengthened the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. For the blessed man to contemplate the inheritance is a great power and strength for us spiritually. It nourishes our souls as we realize, as Romans 8 says, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Many people perform and struggle for athletic endeavors, don't they? For a ribbon or a medal. Many of us have done it ourselves. But what about for Jesus Christ? Do you continue to press on in the midst of trials? And there's only one victor in a running race. But here in Jesus Christ, through James, we're being told that there awaits a crown of life for all those who remain steadfast. And this crown that James is speaking of is not just the crown of authority like Jesus is wearing as a king, but a crown of victory, like a floral, a wreath crown that would be placed upon the victor's head in a race in ancient times. This crown is for you. And James wants to encourage us to continue to press on, for that crown of life waits for you. And this crown is both yours now, in the midst of trials, and awaits for you after that final trial of death. So are you a blessed person? Are you a happy man? Third, the blessed man loves God. The blessed man loves God. Let's get our theology straight. It's not because we loved Him first, but because He loved us, that He endured that cross, and therefore we love Him. And so here, James says, why does He use love and not obedience? The man who is obedient in trials. Because it's clear, what is the sum of the law of God? As Jesus tells us, it's love. The sum of God's law is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love is the motivation for the Christian, for the blessed man. Love. It's like a marriage. You promise your love to another. That even in the midst of trials and struggles and circumstances, for better or worse, sickness and poor, rich and health, that you will remain faithful, that you'll love your spouse. If it's simply a contract, you would just give up. But when you love, you remain steadfast in the midst of the struggle. And again, there's no greater example than Jesus Christ. As He endured that cross, despised the shame, He became sin who knew no sin. Why? Because He loved you. He loved you. So do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Even when your circumstances change, even when hardship comes your way, even when you're persecuted for righteousness, do you love Jesus? Can you say, take away my job, Take away the wealth. Take away all the vacations in this world. Take away the cars, the money, the friends. Give me all the trials and afflictions and the tears that accompany them, because I have my Savior. I have Jesus, and He has loved me, and He's died for me, and He's given me new life. Take the world, but just give me Jesus. So are you a blessed man? Are you walking through this life gloomy and grouchy, humdrum, dissatisfied with your circumstances? People of God, there are so many blessings that await for us on the far side of trials. They're so sweet. Oh, to embrace them. Just heard testimony this morning. Tommy Mangan. He said, I would do it all over again. For God's name to be glorified, think of the sweetness that He has for Jesus because of the trial that He's went through and His family. Trials bring about sweetness. Embrace them. Though they may be difficult, and yeah, we don't want to experience them, but think of the blessings in your own life that you would have been robbed of had you not had to endure trials. Some of them, in our trials, we develop a deeper trust in our Savior, a fuller understanding of our salvation and the love that God has for you and for me. That you and I are recipients of the crown of life. There are people out there that are pursuing life. But all it really is a life leading to death. Yeah, you might not have this or that, but you have the Lord. And you can say, I love Him. And you can say, we are blessed. We are happy people. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we are a blessed people. And Lord, as You bring trials and difficulties into our lives, help us to understand for what they are. Give us the steadfastness to bear up under them through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we anticipate in the end receiving that crown of life where we will be in Your presence forevermore. It's in Christ we pray all these things. Amen.